In your Bible, please, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. We continue the series we began a few weeks ago that we are simply entitling Christ in the Pentateuch. The writings of Moses, the first five books of the Bible, the personal progressive perfect revelation of Almighty God, who He is, what He has done, what He is doing, and what He is yet to do. The Bible is all about Him. It is not about you. It is not about me. It's about Him. It is only about us as we relate to Him. Sinner, saint, rebel, redeemed. Dead in sin, alive in our sin bearer, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were reminded in our earlier studies that this revelation has been given to us in the language of limitation of time and space, of which He's not bound. But He has chosen to reveal Himself in the limitations of language. That language is all that we have and all that we presently need. Yet we know, because in the language of the Scriptures, He has told us that we are yet to experience the fullness of the revelation of Himself. We are the children of God, but it does not yet appear. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed fully, we shall be like Him, as He is. It's all that we have, and it's all we presently need, but there is yet more. And everyone that has this hope in him about the more that God has yet to reveal purifies himself, even as he is pure. The expectation of our glorification to be like him is the practical exhortation of our sanctification, the experiencing of being conformed unto the image of his Son, the being set apart in this life to be like him, yet to be fully experienced. But until then, it is the hope that purifies. We come this morning to the beginning of this revelation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Bible begins with a declaration. In the beginning, with the language of the limitations of time and space, God, Elohim, Almighty, All-powerful God. Remember, we have shared that of the 66 books of the Bible, 39, the Old Testament, reveal God in power. In the beginning, Elohim, Almighty God, all-powerful God, created the heavens and the earth. In the 27 books of the New Testament, God reveals himself in person, as we will see in just a moment. But in the beginning, Elohim, Almighty God, created the heavens and the earth. And this word, as we saw earlier, is the word in the Hebrew language that demands that what is being brought forth, what is made, that which is created out of nothing other than the one that this word is inseparably in the Hebrew language linked to. It is used only, this word, bara, created with God. For he is the one who brought all things into being out from himself. Everything in the heavens, every celestial creation, everything on the earth, everything terrestrial, God brought forth from himself and put in place. And it was good. To connect this God with the God who has revealed himself in power in the Old Testament to the God who has revealed himself in person in the New Testament, we go to John's Gospel, chapter 1 this morning. John, chapter 1. And in the same language of the limitations of time and space, John begins, as did Moses in Genesis, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The defining declaration of Almighty God in the Old Testament, revealed in power, in the New, in person. The defining declaration. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God and His Word are inseparable. He has revealed Himself through His Word. In verse 14 of chapter 1, this revelation, as I mentioned, now becomes very personal. What all of the Old Testament was predicting is now present. The promised one, the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ, is now present. And the Word, the defining declaration of his person, his power, and his plan, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only brought forth of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." and of his fullness. Every time I read that word in the English, I think of the Greek word, but it drives me back to Italy, because the word seems to have an Italian flavor to it. The pleroma. The pleroma. The fullness. All that constitutes the character and the conduct of God, he has now revealed in person. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace heaped upon grace. He is a God of grace. That is the essence of his being, and is the expression of himself to his creation. Grace upon grace. His favor, the favor of his personal, powerful presence in the lives of those whom he has made. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten, the only brought forth Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, the intimacy of this Father-Son relationship is now opened up, and the fullness of our God is revealed. Who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him, exegeted him, opened him up, declared, demonstrated. He has put him on display. The Son, the Word, become flesh. Went over to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 8, where we have the account of the ministry of the Word in flesh, Jesus, prior to his sacrifice in our behalf for our sins. Verse 48. The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly, you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead, and the prophets, also dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. You have not known him in the experiences of your life. But I know him. I have perfect, complete knowledge of him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him perfectly, and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and was glad." The Jews said to him, "You are not even 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. In coming, this is an explosive exclamation. Before Abraham was, I am. In coming, here it is. Ba-voom! And they understood without a doubt what he was declaring. I am the eternal God. I am the self-existing, eternal, almighty, all-powerful God. And they took up stones. They took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. I am that I am, as God had revealed to Moses when he asked, who shall I tell the nation, the people, your chosen ones, that I have come as your instrument of deliverance that sent me? The self-existing, eternal God. I am. Come over to John chapter 10. Reading from verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. If you are the anointed one, if you are the promised one, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. The declaration of who he is on display in what he was doing. The word, the defining declaration of God, was on display. What he did, declared who he is. But you do not believe, because you are not my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. We have an intimacy of knowing one another in our experience. And they follow me. And I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In coming. Here it comes again. This explosive explanation, this explosive exclamation, I and the Father are one. Same response. The Jews took up stones again to stone him. It's just too much. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Tell us, declare clearly, plainly who you are. I have. Everything that I have done demonstrates that I am the one that you've been waiting for, that has been prophesied to come, the anointed, the Messiah. God has revealed himself. And that revelation has a storyline throughout the scriptures. And that storyline is that of the master plan of the Messiah. Are you the Messiah? See what I've done? See what I'm doing? Remember when John the Baptist's disciples came and said, "Do we look for another?" What was Jesus' reply? Go back and tell John. The lame, they're healed. The blind, they see. The dead are raised. He's the one. What he does, what he's been doing, declares, demonstrates. He's God in the flesh. For good works, verse 33, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you being a man, make yourself God. Jesus said, "Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods?" If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, if God has revealed this to be true, of those whom he has chosen, that he identifies, he declares gods. Then why? Why do you not understand? Do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know, that you may experience and believe that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Explosive explanation. Explosive exclamation. I and my Father are one in person. God the Father in me and I in him. God the Father and the Son, one in purpose, inseparable. 1 John chapter 5. Reading from verse 20. And we know, and here is that fullness of knowledge. And we absolutely perfectly know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know by experience him who is true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The inseparable intimacy of God the Father, God the Son, on display in what the Son did to bring glory to the Father. There is no mistaking. I am. There is no mistaking. I and the Father are one. There is no mistaking. I am in the Father. The Father in me. One in person. One in purpose, power, a plan of redemption revealed in the Messiah. Come on back to John chapter 1. the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Went over to the 17th chapter. We're coming near the end of the public ministry of the Messiah, of the Christ. He has gone with his disciples into the upper room. He has washed their feet. He has instituted the remembrance of him by way of the breaking of bread and the cup of wine. He has gone to Gethsemane and prayed, "Not my will, but yours, Father, be done." He is now moving. And as he moves toward Jerusalem, he announces as he prays to the Father, "Father, the hour has come." John 17:1. "Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." One in power. All authority is given him over all flesh. To give eternal life. Purpose. The plan of redemption. To as many as you have given him. This is eternal life. That they may know, experience you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. One in person, in power, in purpose, and in plan. It's all working out in accordance with that plan that was established before the foundation of the world. When he and the Father and the Holy Spirit put together the redemption of the creation that they made. "I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was." Paul, in his epistle to the church at Philippi, gives us a magnificent declaration. Of this unique relationship of the Father and the Son. Philippians chapter 2. He's writing in the context in chapter 2 of their disunity. They're having conflicts. In order for those conflicts to be resolved, there needs to be a unity person and of purpose. And the only way this will happen is as they humble themselves. In order to drive this home, he takes them into the glorious revelation of the humility of the Godhead. Verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God," this outward expression of the essential essence, the eternal intrinsic character of God, this form of God, it was not a physical form, it was the manifestation of his intrinsic essence. He is God. Being in the form God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, your translation may say. He divested himself of that which was necessary in order to interact in his creation. The majesty of his person, the overwhelming glory that is his, that he had with the Father before the world was, he divested himself of. Nevertheless, God, but now they see him in flesh. God has revealed himself in the limitations of humanity. Why? Because that's all we could handle. Anything else? Beyond our comprehension, in the limitations of these bodies, in the limitations of life as we know it. There's more, but this is all we could handle. And he demonstrated that in everything that he did. Most perfectly in the upper room. When he took off his outer robe, set it aside, took a towel, girded his loins, knelt down, and washed the feet of his followers, his disciples. And he, in that act of humiliation, explained that the servant is not greater than the one who sends, the master sending the servant. And so it was that he was showing them what it meant to be a servant. Peter couldn't quite grasp that. No, this isn't what you should be doing. You don't understand it right now. You will. But right now, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Wash me all over. No. This is what I'm doing. You, all of you, are to do likewise. Humble yourselves and serve one another and serve others. He who was God divested himself. He took away the glory that is his and set it aside and put on flesh, the form of a servant, being made himself of no reputation, divested himself, taking the form, that outward manifestation of that which was true of his character as man, of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men. He was truly man. But he was God in person, in the flesh. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Humiliation goes before honor. The cross he had to bear before the crown. Well, back to John, chapter 1. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Paul's letter to the church at Colossians, chapter 1. Verse 13. He, referring to the Father, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom, the Son of His love, we have redemption. We've been purchased through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God. Remember earlier, in Him dwelleth all the pleroma, all the fullness of the Godhead. He is the image. What you see is the real thing. This is God on display. He was not the personification of God. He was God in person, in the limitations of humanity, in the limitations of humility, because it's all we can handle. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn brought forth over all creation. He is Son, sovereign ruler. For by Him, all things were created that are in heaven and in the earth, all things celestial, all things terrestrial, were brought forth, and in the grammar of the Greek, the case here is locative. All things were created out from within Himself. Genesis, what? 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim, Almighty God, created. How? Out from within Himself. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was before with God. And He made all things. And how did He do that? By bringing all things into being out from within Himself. There was nothing but God. For by Him, out from within Himself, all things were created that are in the heavens, the earth, visible, invisible, thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him. This is the instrumental case now. He is the one uniquely within the Godhead. All of the Godhead involved in this creation. But the scriptures state that within the Godhead, Father, the Holy Spirit hovering, the Son steps forth as the one within the Godhead who will speak the Word and bring all things into being. There is an inseparableness to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Through Him, all things were created. And they were created for Him. And He is before all things. And in Him, all things consist. There are no laws of science. There are only the laws of the Son. S-O-N. There are no laws of physics. There are only the laws of His person. God created it. He cares for it. And He controls it. All that He has made. Revelation chapter 1. Verse 4, John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, and is to come. From the seven spirits who are before His throne, we have the majesty, the magnificence of Elohim, Almighty God. Him who is, was, who is to come. The Holy Spirit, and from Jesus Christ, the Son who came in humility, Jesus, Savior, Jehovah saves, Christ, the Anointed, the Messiah, the master plan that God had put in place before the foundation of the world, the faithful witness, the brought forth, first brought forth from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him, the Son, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and in so washing sets us free, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He is coming with clouds, and every eye will see Him, even they who pierced Him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of Him. The remorse over the rejection of God. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the end, says the Lord, Yahweh, Jehovah, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty, Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, the Word, the defining declaration of God in the person of His Son, powerfully performed and brought to fruition the purpose that was established in the plan of God before the foundation of the world. And it was Jesus who brought forth all things. Father, thank You. Thank You that we have come to worship You. That we move throughout this world in the time that You have allotted, for a time that You have put in place until all those who by faith have embraced Your grace manifest in flesh our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thus move into an experience of the fullness of who You are. That we who have believed might throughout eternity give You the praise that is rightly Yours alone. God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.